Madhava Kunjabihari.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Shtotara Sita Shishi Madhabhai Charanara Vindvakti Vinanta Swami Maharaj Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Purusha Sukta. Purusha Sukta confirmed, and we're at text 26 by the grace of the assembled devotees. Thank you. Namadhyani Mantrascha. Dakshinascha Ritanicha Devatanukrama Kalpa Sankalpas Tatram Evacha Namadhyayani Mantrascha Dakshinascha Vritanicha Deva Deva Tanukrama Kalpa Sankalpas Tantram Evacha. Namadhyayani Mantrascha. Takshinas Pratanicha Devanuk Kalpa Sankalpas Tantram Evacha Namadhyayani Mantrascha Takshinascha Pratanicha Devatanukrama Kalpa. Vaishnavis. Namadhyayani Mantrascha. Dakshinascha Vratanicha. Devatanukrama Kalpa. Kalpas Tantram Evacha. Namadhyayani Mantrascha Dakshinascha Vratanicha Devatanukrama Kalpa Sankalpastan Namadhyayani. Invoking the names of the demigods. Mantra. Specific hymns to offer to a particular demigod. Cha, also. Dakshina, reward. Cha, and. Vratani, vows. Cha, and. Devata, anukrama. One demigod after another. Kalpa. The specific scripture. Sankalpa. The specific purpose. Tantram. A particular process. eva, as they are. Cha, also. Translation, other necessities include invoking the different names of the demigods by specific hymns and vows of recompense in accordance with the particular scriptures for specific purposes and by specific processes. Please repeat. Other necessities include invoking the different names of the demigods by specific hymns and vows of recompense in accordance with the particular scriptures for specific purposes and by specific processes. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The whole process of offering sacrifice is under the category of fruit of action, and such activities are extremely scientific. They mainly depend on the process of vibrating sounds with a particular accent. It is a great science and due to being out of proper use for more than 4,000 years for want of qualified brahmanas, such performances of sacrifice are no longer effective. Nor are they recommended in this fallen age. Any such sacrifice undertaken in this age as a matter of show may simply be a cheating process by the clever priestly order. But such a show of sacrifices cannot be effective at any stage. Fruit of action is being carried on by the help of material science and to a little extent by gross material help. But the materialists await a still more subtle advancement in the process of vibrating sounds on which the Vedic hymns are established. Gross material science cannot divert the real purpose of human life. They can only increase the artificial needs of life without any solution to the problems of life. Therefore, the way of materialistic life leads to the wrong type of human civilization. Since the ultimate aim of life is spiritual realization, the direct way of invoking the holy name of the Lord, as mentioned above, is precisely recommended by Lord Chaitanya, and people of the modern age can easily take advantage of this simple process, which is tenable for the condition of this complicated social structure. What a poetic verse, isn't it? Amazing. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Thank you so much, dear devotees. Savas, thank you for being so welcoming. From the time we mentioned we might break free and from our lockdown and come down here, but it's been really heartfelt seeing all the devotees here. You're such stalwarts. You probably don't even know it because you live here all the time, and you just think this is normal, but it's not normal. What you're doing is transcendental. It's beyond what anybody else does practically anywhere in the universe. Is that going on following the parampara strictly every single day, come what may, and maintaining such a high standard. So thank you a million times for letting us bump elbows down here on our way through, because it's been a real lift for us just to see all of you and to feel some loving human devotee contact. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is such a beautiful verse because it compares and contrasts materialism with the true spiritual practice in life, which is what we're interested in. And Srila Prabhupada, as the Paramahamsa, was able to extract milk from water throughout the Vedic literatures, which are known for their complicated nature. They are vast. I mean, even Krishna mentions it in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavarjana, Nirdvando Nitya Sattvasto, Niryoga Shaya Mavan. So try not to get caught up in all the details of the Vedas. They are really complicated. And they're also, he said, mostly for people interested in making some material arrangement, which is the tendency for somebody who's already conditioned is to think that if I just make another material arrangement, whether it be subtle or gross, depending on what mode of nature someone's in, then I'll find some satisfaction. But the transcendentalist comes and says, no, it's something else. It's beyond the three modes of material nature altogether. And in the Gita, Krishna says, just be established in the self, beyond matter. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarve kshetrishu bharata kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam yat sach jnanam atam mama. Real knowledge starts, he says, with understanding that you have nothing to do with the body or the entire world, material world for that matter. Asango hyayam purushaha. Big news flash. You don't belong here. It's not your place at all. You have no connection here at all. It's really nothing to see here. Keep moving. So the process of winnowing out the false from what is real is the spiritual process, actually. Anyad evahur sambhavat, anyad ahura sambhavat, iti shushumadhiranam yenas tadvich chakshire. Anyad evahur vidyaya, anyad ahur avidyaya. In the Shirish Upanishad, we hear that there's two sides. You've got one side, if you devote your energies towards that which is spiritual, then there's one result. If you devote your energies, because where attention goes, energy flows, towards the inferior material energies, then a completely different, you're going to get a different result for sure. Don't think they're the same. And it repeats a similar verse saying there's a difference between transcendental knowledge and ignorance. And ignorance is everything that's not connected to the complete whole. So how to sort those things out? There has to be a process to see. Devahuti in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam says to Kapiladev, how do we get out of this? She said, how do I get out of this? It seems like the two are mixed together so inextricably that There's no chance of separating matter from spirit. I feel like I am my body. Any of you ever feel like that? Now you know how I feel all the time. So she said, what do we do? And Kapiladev says, you have to hear for a long time. You have to hear for a long time and go on with your service. But there's a gradual way in which there's the power of the mantra, he says. Just as when you take food stuff into your stomach and it's automatically digested. Then naturally, he says, when you hear and chant and you go on with the processes of devotional service, then the subtle material body and all of its samskaras, which bind us to the material world, are dissolved naturally. Shrinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyan taksto hibhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. Krishna is there as the vidhunoti. The Vidhunoti is the one who helps us to separate the material from the spiritual. And he divides them out. He pushes away. In fact, the Vidhunoti is a kind of sorting machine. You take raw cotton with all its impurities and you put it on top, vibrate the cords, and then the impurities fall through to the floor and the fluffy white cotton stays on top. So similarly, the transcendental vibration is what purifies. So how do we get in this mess in the first place? By sound vibration. This is mentioned throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sound is the cause of creation. And it's the cause of us creating our reality, the so-called reality in life. Whatever circumstances you have now, whatever house you have, your car, your bank balance, your association, the planet, the family you live in, your political party, your baseball team. All of that is manifest and because of sound vibration in our lives. And if you don't like it, then reverse it. You can reverse the process, as the Sri Brahma Samhita says, by the non-conglomerating process. There's a way in which the creation comes into being. That's another good phrase. There's a way in which the material world is manifest from one substance, one very subtle substance, and then it's agitated by the glance of Mahavishnu, begins to coagulate and come together into various forms and shapes, myriad forms and shapes, and various algorithms create the various bodies, and we then have the opportunity to inhabit them. So the whole material world is created, and then at the end, it's uncreated. It winds back up again. It goes backwards from the process of manifestation, and then it goes from gross back down through the subtle, and then becomes one substance again. It gets reabsorbed into Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is doing his Srishti Lila, and he's breathing out, and all the universes are manifested, and all the living entities come out. And then according to the sound, the little song they're carrying in their heart, these little jivas, the Lord, Asau Gunamayar Bhavir, Bhuta Sukshmendriyatmabi, Sa Nirmite Shu Nirvishto, Bhunte Bhute Shu Tadgunan. The Lord reminds little jiva when he comes back out into the material creation that this is the song you wanted to sing. So go ahead, sing, little jiva. And jiva starts singing and beep, beep, beep. And then his assumes by momentum of that sound vibration, purva samskars, previous impressions, he then remanifests the situation he had before, he or she. So there's a way in which again and again I'm manifesting my reality. So what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us was, don't meddle with any sound vibration that's not transcendental. Does that sound simple enough? Just absorb yourself in that which is already established as the perfect sound vibration. There is such a word, perfective. That's a word. There's perfective sound. Perfective sound means sound vibration that brings us into a perfect state. So if you think your life's imperfect, you don't like your house, you don't like your family, you don't like what you've got in life, change it. Just erase it. You made a mistake, reverse the process and bring it back the other way. So you can do that by perfective sound and by making the sound vibration deliberately, starting with the first time you wake up in the morning and you say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then you go on making the sound vibration of Hare Krishna. Then all of the anomalies created by the defective sound are erased one by one. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. The slate is clean. The chitta, the consciousness of the living entity, the software that we carry around with us, becomes again rectified, and we're able to see ourselves as we are, and we're able to then take up our pure life of service. So just as an organism, you have this human body. It's a biomechanical robot. And in this robot, there are very sophisticated energy centers called chakras. So the lowest chakra is at the bottom of the spine. And 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains this process, that there's a way in which when we desire as souls, because we always desire, the subtle desire is manifest from the lowest chakra, and then it moves up to a chakra where we start to conceive of the idea. This happens instantaneously, it's so fast. It moves up to the next chakra, in which we begin to intellectualize the desire. Then the next chakra higher is where we start to think of it in our mind. We think of the desire. And then the next chakra stops at the voice box. And at the voice box, then we speak it. So there's a good practice, vacho vegam, manasakrita vegam. Don't say everything you think. Don't say, I heard that somebody say that. It was a successful musician, and he had traveled with many different bands. And someone asked him, how did you get along so well? And he said, I learned, don't say everything you're thinking. Because then these errant desires, because of association of material nature, they manifest subtly, and then they grossify, and they come up, and then they manifest through our voice, and that's what perpetuates our material existence. All you have to do is change the sound vibration, cheto darpana marginam, and you reverse the process. It starts going back down, and it starts to purify the entire process in reverse order. And by making the perfective sound, you also change the course of your life. Your environment, your association, your destiny, everything becomes changed by the power of the transcendental sound vibration. That's why we do what we do. That's why we chant Hare Krishna, and that's why we distribute it to others in a very neat package and just say, hey, listen, you know, you got ripped off. Make a best use of a bad bargain. Here's how you do it. We have a simple process. It's not religion. It's scientific. You make the sound vibration, and it goes from the subtle level to the gross level, and you can re-manifest your happy life again. Om Tat Sat. Simple. So these are a few thoughts, but now we'll take some, if you don't mind, some reflections. Reflection, to start with, doesn't have a question mark at the end. It's just something you heard so far that stuck in your mind from whatever you heard from the purport or from the monologue. What thing, word, sentence, concept, struck your ear as interesting or helpful or something you can take away? Radisham.
Thank you. I was appreciating the concept that the material sound vibration, when taken in repeatedly, can also become very disturbing. It can start to consume us and carry us in all kinds of different directions. And I was just thinking how simple it is that we can choose to change that and take in spiritual sound vibration, chant the Maha Mantra, take in that transcendental sound vibration. And that also, but to really, like, really get absorbed in it, and it can have very tangible effects and change the consciousness.
Thanks, Radhesham Prabhu. That was a nice recollection. And Savas Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
Beautiful. What struck me...
Oh, it's not on. You got to turn it on.
It was Hare on. Krishna.
There you go.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, something very interesting you mentioned was that one should be very careful and not speak everything they think. And I thought that was very profound in terms of how, speaking also comes from a different particular mode of nature. In a mode of goodness, you speak these wonderful things and you think wonderful things. But you can see just in the course of being in a material world and being in this body and what karma we have, we tend to think and we speak in some mode of nature, like goodness, passion, or ignorance. So I thought that was a very, very wonderful instruction. We should see that we still are, to a large degree, under the modes of material nature. And the modes of nature will force us to think and maybe even speak in a particular way. And as a devotee, we should be conscientious of that and be very careful not to speak things that are too much in the mode of ignorance, material life, material world, mode of passion, anger, lust, and greed. And we should be very conscientious of that. So thank you.
Thank you, Subhas, for such important points. It's very practical what you're saying. This is one of the first questions. This is the first question that Arjuna asks Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita when he wants to know about asthita prajna. What is the person like who is fixed in consciousness? So one of the questions is, how does he speak? And so Prabhupada mentions there that a fool is not discovered until he or she speaks. He had nothing to say, and then he said it. And so there's a way in which the Bhagavatam also describes in the verse Evam Vrata Sva Priyanamakirtya Jatana Rago Jitachuta Uchaya Asatyato Rotiti Roti Gayati Unmadavan Rititi Lokabhayaha, which is the verse that Srila Ishvarapuri gave to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his initiation, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got the Ma mantra and he began to chant, and he got his Diksha mantras also, and he began to chant, and then he went crazy, apparently. And he came back to his guru and said, what kind of mantra did you give me? Is this the right one? It makes me go crazy. And then Srila Ishvara Puri said this verse, very important. He said it's the essence of the Bhagavatam. Evam vrata sva priyanama kirtya. When you take a vow of vrat to chant the holy name of the Lord, then gradually you become attached to the name, and then gradually you'll find that it becomes very dear to you. And then your heart will melt. Druta chitta. Druta karma, druta chitta. The consciousness, the heart melts, druta. And so, druta chitta. And then he said, then you'll start, you won't care for outsiders. You become disconnected from social concerns, you know. So in the lengthy purport, there are commentaries from different acharyas, because it's such an important verse. And Madhvacharya says that there are two ways to ascertain what is an advanced devotee. He said one is their steadiness in service. And the second is called mukhya prasada, which means that whatever comes from their mouth is prasad. Means that whatever they speak is actually merciful, merciful speech. They're, even if it's a chastisement, it's actually meant to better someone else. Because, as the principle we hear in the Upadeshamrita, when Rupa Goswami describes the different levels of advancement of the devotees, he says that the devotees who are most advanced, they have given up the propensity in their heart to criticize others. They have no more envy of others, so that when they speak, it's not harsh words. It's not meant to cut somebody else. So it is, as Subhas Prabhu is saying, this is, we can judge by what we speak. And that is very telling about what mode of nature we're in. And if we're always chanting Hare Krishna, then we'll be transcendentalized. And we're also transcendental. Who else but devotees go on just speaking Krishna Katha? Navina Prabhu.
Thank you, Vaisheshika Prabhu. So I like the point where you said that every living entity who comes into this world wants to sing their little song and do their little dance. And if we don't like the situation that we're in, we should change the song. And that will change our situation.
Yeah. Change the song. If you don't like what you're being subjected to, change the subject. You can change the channel. And that's what changes everything. It may not happen immediately, because it's hard to change a channel. Radhe Shampra would say, well, simple process. He was repeating what I said. It may not be easy, though, because it's hard to get your hand to actually change the channel. There's an addiction to material sound. And so the Vaidhi Bhakti, the process, really is regulating how we hear. The Prabhupada instituted all forms of hearing. He was very adamant about putting out all these books, especially so that books is just sound abstracted. It's an abstraction of sound. You just take it and then you put it into symbols. And then if you can't, people who are deaf have a really hard time learning how to read, actually. It's much harder for them, because we correlate what we hear with what's on the page, and you're able to to then associate it, connect it. And so it's sound vibration written down. And Prabhupada, if you look at what he did, really he tried to establish a way to rule the airwaves. I heard this on a political campaign a long time ago. Somebody was saying, it was a pollster, was saying, whoever rules the airwaves wins. And we know this in warfare, that when an attacking force comes into the realm of another adversary, they try to rule the airwaves. They try to take over the radio stations or impose their own sound vibration within. In fact, every realm in the universe is defined by its sound vibration. Om Bhur Bhava Swa Tat Savitur Varinyam. So these are realms, actually, of sound in this world. Every realm is defined by sound. So when you go into a place, you identify it with the sound vibration that's there, and everything gets manifest. There's actually science where people, experimenters, take a steel plate and they put granules of sand or other types of material on the plate, and then they connect it to different kinds of sound and musical instruments and so forth, like a violin and saxophone. And then the steel plate picks up the particular vibration and it forms a symmetrical pattern. And according to the vibration, it's different. So you can see from that how it is, it's called cymatics. You can see from that how it is that the subtle sound then starts to form the patterns in our lives. First in our brains and then in our outward environment, because everything comes from subtle into gross manifestation. And so if you change the song, don't sing that song, sing this song. You know, it's a bit, the other songs that aren't connected to Krishna, they're abhorrent to those who are on the spiritual path because they feel damaged by them, actually. Like, you're rearranging the cells in my brain right now. Please stop. You know, and that's why we repair to these environments where we're in an ashrama. An ashrama really means the place where there's no shrama. There's no hard labor, no manifesting sound vibration for no reason. Everything, no word wasted here. It's all meant for to perfect the environment. Sorry, I keep going on and on. A couple more points. Prema Vrishti. Yeah, she's saying about recalling Cheto Darpana Marjanam.
In relation to sound vibration, and when I used to teach first graders, we would always say to them, think before you speak. And the think would be, is it truthful? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And so really being metacognitive about the think process before you let out the sound vibration, so you've had an opportunity to really hold up a mirror to what you're going to say before you speak.
Yeah. And it's similar to what Savas Prabhu was saying. And it goes back to the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, truthful, beneficial, pleasing, not agitating, and also regularly recite the Vedic sounds. This is speech in the mode of goodness. Nice. Yes. Oh, good. Jhuta Karma. Is that you? I can't tell who's who. You can only tell by the sound vibration. During pandemic.
So, in the beginning, you were saying what the devotees here in New Dwarka are doing is not normal. So, I'd like to say you're also doing things that aren't normal. Saying that in a positive way.
Hare Krishna.
That you're very dedicated to emanating transcendental sound in various forms and through various media. So I appreciate that. I was listening to your presentation on science. It was on Dundavats a couple of days ago. That was very nice.
So, which one?
You were speaking about science.
Science.
To oh. different devotees.
They oh, had, right.
They were raising questions, and you were answering them very nicely. So
oh, good.
Thank you.
Wow. Now that makes me feel good. When I start speaking about science, like, I hope Drew DeKarma probably doesn't listen to this. So you made my day. Thank you very much. And as Yogini said to us last night, from your lips to the Lord's ears, Hare Krishna. Okay, we just have time for two more. A reflection or a question, and I'll keep the answer short. Yes, Sri Madhava Mahotsav.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I was just thinking when you were mentioning how things go from subtle to gross. Like when I'm researching something, I go to the internet. So I'm like working with my mind. Like, is this good? You know, do I need to order this product? So it's going, it's like subtle. It's, my mind is working. And then I click order and then it shows up in the gross form. Like the product.
Yeah, Prabhupada mentions that here. That to some degree, modern technology, science has duplicated the process. Like Prapti City, you just go on Amazon Prime, say, I want this. About 12 hours later, they're, here you go. And they're like, yeah, I'm a yogi. But Prabhupada mentions this in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gives this example that the skyscraper building, where does it come from? First, it starts as an idea. And then the person manifests the idea by speaking. He says, I'd like to make a building. And someone says, what kind of building do you want? It's like, you know, 30 stories high. Actually, we'll say the one over here, 4 stories high, whatever it is. And then Prabhupada points out that the process starts from the subtle level of saying it. And then from there, all the necessary paraphernalia becomes available. And so he says that the building was actually built by sound. The ingredients are already available. They're already there. We don't create the ingredients. All we do is assemble them. Brahma does the same thing. He only assembles the available ingredients that are there. And we assemble the various ingredients that are in our life by the sound vibration that we make also. And yeah, that's kind of the point that we're making here. Well, we'll take away from this perhaps that an awareness. Yes, sir. You had a question? Okay, give him the mic. For the close. A bye for the close.
Actually, you're right, because some people made the ingredients, but Krishna made, but who made them? Krishna. Yeah, you know?
I can't beat that, so we're going to end on that note. Haribo! Vanchakalpatibhrishya kripasanbhavachapatitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Well done, Abhay. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu.